Call the House Committee on Healthcare to order. And open up a work session on House Bill 4027. Is there any discussion?
You want a motion?
Well, yeah, let's have a motion first. That's a good idea.
I've just, do it your way.
Don't forget, refer to land use. No, it's a different.
Yeah. Chair Greenleg, I move to adopt the dash 3 amendment stated 2-10-12 to House Bill 4027.
Representative Thompson moves the dash 3 amendments to 4027 dated 2-10-12. Is there any discussion? I say this is the bill. These amendments clear up any opposition to this bill. So we are prepared to move ahead with it. There's no opposition to the amendments. Dash 3 amendments are in House Bill 4027. You have another motion, Mr. Co-Chair.
Chair Greenleg, I move House Bill 4027 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Thompson moves House Bill 4027 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Over here. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Whoever, which of you?
You always get Conger and myself mixed up.
I got you and Kenneman mixed up this time.
Yeah. This is a good bill. The only concern I have is I know that when it comes to the liability situation, I couldn't see that there was a problem, you know, with the current statutes we have. But apparently, from what I understand, since many of the clients, they have to go to the clients as opposed to the clients coming to them, is where there's part of an issue. And I think that's been resolved. So I feel much more comfortable with the bill.
Great. Any other comments? Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Conger?
Excused.
Representative Doherty?
Yes.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Parrish?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hoyle?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kinnemer?
Aye.
Co-Chair Thompson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Greenleaf?
Aye. We twist your arm and ask you to carry it, Representative Wisner?
My honor, and thank the committee very much.
Motion passes, and the work session on House Bill 4027 is closed. Open up public hearing on House Bill 4054, and call my esteemed colleagues from the other side of the building to come and talk to us. Hold on just one moment. You want to comment on what it is we're talking about here, Madam Administrator?
Mr. Co-Chair, members...
She gets paid all these big bucks to do that kind of thing.
So. Oh, I do. And it's called REAP. Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4054 prohibits the Public Employees Benefit Board, a.k.a. PEB, from authorizing or requiring the collection of information or maintenance of records relating to firearms on their eligible employees or a family member. This does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you very much. Please, in any order.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, Mr. Vice Co-Chair, Mr. Madam Vice Co-Chair, and members of the committee. Thank you for allowing us to make testimony on House Bill 4054. I am just here to show my support for this bill. I and others took umbrage, shall we say, at the idea that we would ask, pursuant to PEB benefits, employees and their families if they were gun owners, and also if they drive over the speed limit, do they drive after having consumed alcoholic beverages, and whether or not they wear a seatbelt.
We think you may not have introduced yourself.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I am Senator Ted Farioli, District 30 from the other side of the building.
The other half of the state, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the other half of the state.
36,000 square miles is the best part of it. My others may do. Thank you. So the question that occurred to some of us after we got our PEB surveys was, I wonder what the treatment modalities are for gun ownership. Is it re-education, or how does it relate to some medical condition that needs treatment? or a lifestyle that indicates folks are somehow remiss simply because they exercise their Second Amendment constitutional rights to own a gun. So we contacted PEB. PEB was very responsive, but needed, in our estimation, the statutory authority to make the change. And we're grateful to Representatives Thompson, Parrish, and Wiedner for filing the bill that we're here to testify on. And with that, I will defer to my colleague from across the other side of the building and across the aisle.
I do need to note that she's taking away big chunks of my district. She owes me.
She is. She does. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I represent Northwest Oregon. I appear here today also as the Senate President's non-voting appointee to the PEB board. And I come in support of the bill. I, for all the reasons so clearly articulated by Senator Farioli, I think what many of us found problematic was the placement of the gun question, along with, as Senator Farioli has already detailed, bad behaviors, imputing the potential of bad behavior in gun ownership. The thing that was a little bit alarming to me was that when Senator Farioli brought this issue to my attention as the designee from the Senate to the PEB board, we went to work on trying to get the question off of the questionnaire. And I found PEB somewhat sluggish in their either desire or ability to remove the offending question. But I did find great consolation in, I think, the really heroic efforts on the part of Kaiser to get the question off of their form. There was some programming that had to occur, but I want to particularly use this forum to call out Inga Deckard and Mr. Becker. They were very responsive to my phone calls. They worked directly with me and by extension with the Senate Republicans to get the question off of the form. We have been assured in writing that the question is now off the form, and I just wanted to bring kudos to Kaiser for their assistance in making this happen. I would add, colleagues, that given the magnitude of PEB's activities, I think right now very few of us in this building are really cognizant of what goes on at PEB. That is the co-chair, Mr. Greenlee, perhaps accepted. This is a $750 million operation. And I am, as I sit and observe the meetings as a non-voting member, concerned about many aspects of the operation of PEB. And I think that it would not be out of the possibility of consideration that this building, this legislative body, get more involved in understanding what goes on at PEB, what the standards of excellence for delivery of services from a state agency ought to be. And I have been somewhat alarmed by my early experience. Unfortunately, for the first 6 months of my service, the PEB meetings were scheduled at a time when it was impossible for a legislator to leave this building. But I would commend for your consideration in the healthcare arena, and Mr. Co-Chair Thompson, I didn't mean to slight you, given your background in medical.
I'm slighted all the time. Don't worry about it.
Well, this committee may be more knowledgeable than some about what PEB does, but I think it was funny. I was going through some of my mother's papers. She died not that long ago, and an article in her desk, the caption was, "Could PEB be the next PERS?" with her annotation all over it. I think PEB is ripe for some review by the legislature, and I would hope that that opportunity would present itself. I offered a bill this time that unfortunately isn't going to get a hearing that would add a ninth public member to a board that is for labor, for management, and frequently deadlocked. And I also, in the bill, requested that the head of PEB be a gubernatorial appointee rather than serving at the pleasure of the board. I thought it was a good bill. It's not going to get heard in Senate rules. But this is an issue that I think we need to keep our eye on. That is not germane to this bill. I have taken considerable license in expanding the discussion to ask for that legislative scrutiny.
And that's not unusual, if I may be rude to interrupt.
Thank you, Representative Kenemer. Back to the bill. Good bill should pass. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, sir.
Senator Johnson. Are you convinced that this is truly off the questionnaire and this put to rest?
multiple chairs, members of the committee, I am. Now, I have to say that I come to that answer with some trepidation, because when I first queried PEB in writing, was it off the form, I was. They responded and said, yes, it was. On further scrutiny, it was not. And so I was quite alarmed and shocked that PEB, who administers the questionnaire, would provide me such erroneous information. That then began the bipartisan effort to get this offending question off, and that's when Kaiser became involved. Kaiser has assured me in writing, I take Kaiser at their word, I have the emails in my office, and so I am convinced at this point that it is off the form. There are Kaiser representatives in the office that are in the audience that you might want to drive home that point with, but I'm satisfied it is off.
I'd like to make a couple of comments. First, in every session, I have the urge to put in statute the requirement that we eliminate stupidity.
And Mr. Chair, respectfully, some of us would have to go home.
You see so many examples of just dumb things happening, and this is one of them. But we also tried to push on PEB on the whole question of that health enhancement model, and we're not successful in getting any testimony to deal with it, because I think we've had issues with the whole sort of thing. And finally, I'd like to comment as a researcher to Senator Farioli. There is, in fact, some reason to know in the healthcare system about firearms, because if a pediatrician particularly knows that there's firearms in the house, they can enhance the issue of firearm safety, which I think most people with firearms are concerned about. And I actually wrote a paper on it once, and talking about how to just remind parents about the needs for firearm safety in their home. So, I mean, it's not completely far-fetched. It just came out in such an utterly stupid way.
And Mr. Co-Chair, if I could respond, I agree. There certainly is ample benefit that education is required in any situation with gun ownership and storage. And certainly that's a responsibility we expect gun owners to willingly embrace. Not all do. That's tragic. But the idea that the benefit board would develop a curriculum and somehow find a delivery mechanism palatable to folks is a bit of a stretch. And I guess what I would say is that Kaiser for sure, PEB probably, and other institutions that have used the same question, and we, in researching this, we found out that many of the institutions across the country have a question like this. I think what happens is they go through many generations, and when people start to reach out and do consultative health care for better outcomes, they sort of go on autopilot on some of the issues. And this one, I think, just gets carried forward. But I have to agree, Co-Chair Greenlich, that if people thought about this a little bit and were not just on autopilot, I don't think the question never would have been included in the questionnaire to begin with. It certainly has caused a wonderfully complicated distraction for the process that was utterly unnecessary.
With the chair's indulgence, the only thing that I might add is that the whole communication plan about the health engagement model has been maladroit at best. One could easily deduce that having somebody chase me with a measuring tape is not a concept I would embrace, and I think that the way that this whole health engagement model has been portrayed to the members of PEB and to the public has been appalling. And I can assure you, because I've sat in on the meetings where the representations have been made, that PEB is doing a great deal to correct what I think has been a pretty anemic communications plan.
Any other comments? Yes, sir.
If you would mind taking a message for me, if it's not heard, I think the next time we engage in something on risk modeling, we might want to be a little more comprehensive about it. I'm relatively sure that riding a bicycle in rush hour in Portland is a whole lot more dangerous than owning a gun, irrespective of what I'm doing with the gun. I just own it. At one time in my life, I had an explosives detonation permit, which required me to sit through a two-hour training class to get it. Me with 2 hours of explosives training behind me is definitely a risk to everybody's life. You know, that question isn't on there. And I think if we're serious about looking at risk factors that might affect the health model, we might want to be a little bit more sensitive than to throw constitutional rights under the truck as the place we start. And I would appreciate if you just convey that to our friends at PEB, that let's do it different.
You might also convey for me, and my coach has heard me talk about the question of adrenaline. Adrenaline freaks who do things like skiing and play racquetball and tennis and things that are clearly risks for
serving the legislature. That's good
for orthopedics. And I think adrenaline addiction is a much bigger problem than others. Thank you very much for bringing this to our attention. Feel comfortable. Oh, I'm sorry. Is there?
No.
I think we feel comfortable that there's no imminent danger in this issue right now, and we're letting it come to rest, so we will. Oh, no, wait a minute, we have another witness. Kevin Starrett?
Thank you, committee.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to speak on it, too? Kaiser, the opportunity to defend themselves.
For the record, Kevin Starrett, Oregon Firearms Federation. We came to support the bill because we think that there's absolutely no benefit to have public employees be faced with this unnecessary scrutiny. It doesn't benefit anyone. It's an intrusion. It's been mentioned that the people in this issue have voluntarily offered to change this. And I will tell you, for years, we've dealt with state agencies that have made promises of that kind and then did nothing, or change things temporarily and then change them back. This goes everyone from DHS to county fairgrounds. And so it probably is a wise idea, if you can, to put this into statute to prevent that, to solve the problem once and for all, rather than leaving it up to the discretion of organizations that have shown in the past that they don't respect these rights. I'd also like to put on the record that the NRA asked that we put on the record that they are in support of this bill as well. Mr. Harder couldn't be here today for personal reasons, but wanted to let you know that.
Thank you very much. We can assure you we're going to be watching this one. Any other? Yes.
I just want to share with the committee, I don't know about you all, but I have received a ton of email from state employees on this subject. I spent a big chunk of Super Bowl Sunday answering them. Because they needed answering, and I think that hopefully this problem either resolves itself on its own, but I don't mind committing it to statute either. You know, and the irony of it is I'm not a gun owner. You know, everyone just thinks you got a certain letter after your last name that you automatically fit a mold. And, you know, I mean, my version of hunting is that I get tri-tip on sale at Albertsons for a good deal. I'm not out there shooting my own meat or whatever. I'm very sympathetic to the state workers who have brought this forward as an issue, and I'm still answering the emails. And I hope that we watch this because I think we do need to make sure that we're protecting their privacy and protecting their Second Amendment rights. And so even though I don't own a gun, I appreciate that other people want to, and that we, you know, value our state employees who have the right to gun ownership and not put them under that scrutiny that nobody else is being really subject to. So that's my
family also had the right not to answer that question, which is something with a soft spot for some people. Okay. We will close.
Just want to acknowledge that members just got two pieces of written testimony from Arthur Inns, I believe, and Marie Inns in support of House Bill 4054 that will be put into the record.
And we will close a public hearing on House Bill 4054. And pending any other. Oh, yeah. A motion.
Chair Greenlick, I would ask for suspension of the rules for the purpose of allowing Representative Conger to vote on House Bill 4027.
Is there any objection to suspending the rules? Representative Conger?
Thank you, committee. I would like to vote aye.
Okay. So noted. We have a very light agenda for
Wednesday, so it'll be safe to turn the chair over to Representative Thompson.
No. This is a historically short meeting, in at least in my memory.
Committee.
Yeah.
Goodness
yeah.
gracious.
We've done all the business on House bills.
I have no idea which one's right.
Wow.
Our ability to do anything else with House bills is over for this session. We have 1 week to deal with Senate bills. Is that right? We have until a week from today?
Correct.
To deal with Senate bills. We have one in our possession and at least one more or maybe a couple more.
That's good.
Coming over. So we should have a light session. We hope when we're after next Monday that we'll be holding some information hearings. We'll begin doing our interim work at that point. And if members of the committee want to have informational hearings, please let us know, because we'll have the ability to do it on a leisurely basis. We're all together and don't have to wait for committee day. So if there's something on your mind, we'll have time to talk about it. We can organize informational hearings. We have permission to go. I think the leadership thinks that idle hands are the devil's workshop, and they just assume keep us sitting in a committee meeting. So, you want to talk?
No.
Oh, we'll. And Wednesday's meeting will begin at 1:30 rather than 1.
Okay, sweet.
Okay. We are adjourned.
Wow.